If you want, and if you like, of course, you may read it, and or I can do it from here, but maybe it's better that you do it there.
Olga, I'll be happy. Yeah, I'll be happy to read it. I do have a question for you. We had asked for people to provide any final comments on Task 1, Subtask 1, and the changes to that document. Do we want to ask again at the start of this meeting if there are any further comments?
Well, we could ask if someone wants to comment. I think we had enough time, the documents on the wiki, for commenting, and but it's okay if we maybe it, people didn't have the chance to read them, but I guess it should be today, and because it has been going for a while in the wiki with all the changes, so I think people have enough time to review. But anyway, we can ask if someone wants to suggest any changes or deletions or modifications. I think it's a good idea.
Thank you.
Also to the parts of the second document that we have been also reviewing.
Exactly. That's great.
I think that's a great idea.
Okay, thank you, Olga. So just a few more minutes, and then I'll let you know
no
when
problem.
I'm ready
here.
To get started. Thanks so much. Hello, Olga. This is Julie. I might ask if there are other people on the phone, if you could announce yourselves at this point.
This is Mike O'Connor in Preston. Jonathan Frakes is here. Ken Boris here. James Bladel is here.
Thank you. Olga, I was wondering if perhaps we should go ahead and ask for the recording to be started, and then we could do
yeah,
a roll
sure.
call.
Yeah? I don't know how many people is in the room, or if you think we may wait 2 or 3 minutes more.
Olga. Hi, this is Stefan.
Hi, Stefan. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Very good.
I'm very relieved that you were able to join us, because I was about to take over your duties, and that would have been hard.
And congratulations for your great job. I've been following you on the phone.
Thanks very much. The room is pretty full, so I think you may start whenever you want. I'm standing by if you need me to help in any way, but I don't think you will, and I think I can just sit back and be quiet. But you know, I'm here in case you need it, and you can start whenever you want.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Stefan. I appreciate that. Great. Julie, can we start the recording, please?
Yes, Olga. Why don't we go around just a moment. Okay, Olga, this is Julie. Evidently, the recording has started. Perhaps I can ask for those who are on the telephone to please announce themselves, and then we will do a roll call of those in the room.
That's a great idea. Thank you.
This is Michael Connor in Dresden, along with Jonathan Frakes, Kim Bohr, and James Bladel.
And
it's myself, Olga Cavalli, in the phone.
Anyone else on the phone that we have missed? Thank you. Then we'll do a roll call here in the room, and I'll begin. This is Julie Headland from ICANN staff.
Steve DelBianco with the business constituency.
Andrei Kolesnikov, NAMCOM.
Rafik Damak, NCHE.
Tony Harris from the ISP constituency.
Wolfgang Knoben, ISP constituency.
Jamie Wagner, ISP constituency.
Aisha Hassan, business constituency.
Stefan Van Gelder, registrar, stakeholder group.
Margie Myelam, ICANN staff.
Liz Gaster, ICANN staff.
David Olive, ICANN staff.
Mary Wong, NCSG.
Debbie Hughes, NCSG.
Marika Konings, ICANN staff.
Thank you, everyone. Olga, would you like to have me go over the agenda, or would you like to do so?
I would like to do that. Thank you, everyone, for joining remotely, and as myself, and presently there in Nairobi. I'm so sorry not being there. I had some family complications, but luckily I'm here on the phone with you, and I appreciate that you're in the meeting right now. The idea for today's meeting, and we have enough time to go through different documents, we have a finalized revising task 1, subtask 1 document. It is already, with all the changes in the wiki, it has been there for more than 2 weeks. Deadline for submitting comments or any deletions or suggestions of changes was, correct me please, Julie, if I'm wrong, it was February the 26th. And we haven't received anything so far, but I would like to ask those in the meeting, remotely or presently, if they want to suggest any changes or comments as a last chance to change the document, or we accept it as it is. And we move forward to the second one, which is Task 1, Subtask 2 document. We have been revising it up to about the middle of the document. Also, changes and suggestions were expected until February 26. We, as far as I remember, we haven't heard anybody suggesting anything, but we have the chance today to do it. And the idea, if there are no suggestions for this one complete document and the part of the second one, we can go on revising the second document, and hopefully we can do a lot of work today because we have many people and more time. So this is the idea for today's call. Julie, do you want to add something?
Thank you, Olga. This is Julie. No, I think you've covered it.
Great. And I really want to thank Julie. She will be so kind to read the documents. I think it's better that she reads them instead of myself doing it from distance. So first I would like to ask if someone wants to make a suggestions or changes or modifications to task one, subtask one document. This document was prepared by the working team led by SS. SS is on the line? Okay, we don't have SS, but I would like for the record and for everyone here to comment his work and his dedication to this document, and also for all the working team in revising it. So I would welcome if someone wants to make any suggestion of changes, or if we all agree that the changes made so far to the first draft are okay. Julie, someone writing his hand or something like that?
Olga, I hear no comments from this end. Are there any comments on the phone? Olga, this is Julie. It appears there are no additional comments.
Great. Okay. Congratulations for the sub-working team and for the whole team for revising the document. So the first document is done. About the second one, it was led by Victoria McEvedy. Victoria sent her apologies. I think she was not able to join the call. But I would also like to commend her work and all the working team that prepared the document. It's a very detailed and complete document. We have been revising it up to the middle. I would like to know if up to part three, communication, someone has any suggestion, changes, or deletions that want to make or propose. The document has been in the wiki for more than 2 weeks, and comments were expected to be sent by 26th of February.
Olga, this is Julie. Victoria McEvedy did send a comment via email concerning Section 3 communications. Would you like me to refer to it?
Sure, please.
Thank you. I'll go to that email. Hold on for one moment, please.
It's about communication. It's Section 3 communications, right?
Yes, I'll get it.
Point 3, okay.
Yes, that's correct. Hold on for 1 second. I'll pull up her message.
Sure.
Sorry, this is taking a few moments. So, Olga, this is Julie. I apologize for the delay. I do have Victoria McEvedy's message up that she sent on Thursday, March 4th, with respect to the changes that have been made through Section 3 communications on Task 1, Subtask 2. Victoria notes, as to the revisions, I'm troubled by the deletion in 3C. If the work team is not in favor of disclosure policies, then could we state the reasons why relevant information can be withheld from even group members? For transparency, these ought to be on enumerated grounds only, not discretionary or arbitrary withholdings. A method should be provided for members to seek information on what is withheld and which of the enumerated acceptable grounds is claimed, with an avenue of independent review provided.
Thank you, Julie. As far as I remember, the discussions we had in the group, and unfortunately Victoria was not present in the last conference call. Some of the group members raised issues about that not all the information should be disclosed. But I would welcome comments from other members of the working team about this, because as I don't belong to a specific constituency, and they are accustomed to manage this information. It's Claudio on the line. I think that we discussed with him this paragraph, or with Tony. Tony is in the meeting, right?
Yes, I'm here, Olga.
Do you recall the ground of the deletion about in relation with constituency operations and daily communications?
Are you asking me, Olga?
Yeah, I don't know if it was you or Claudio that we discussed this part of the document, and you had some concerns about constituency disclosing all the information and not. So I think that Victoria is writing this point from her perspective. I think Claudio's not on the line, right?
Olga, this is Julia.
I know he was not going to Nairobi, but he's not. Is Claudio on the line?
Olga, this is Julia. I don't believe he's on the line.
Okay.
Olga, this is Tony. I believe the last I recall, I've been traveling the last 3 days, is that Claudio was working on that text you're mentioning.
I didn't hear your last part of your comment.
Claudio, as I recall, Claudio was going to suggest some wording on this point that you just brought up.
Yes, I think that he was going to send some comments. So I would suggest that we take it as an action item to review 3 communications part B, and review it with Claudio and take in consideration of Victoria's comments. I would welcome those participants in other constituencies to say what they think about this sub-paragraph. So we leave it as it is and see which is the outcome of Claudia's suggestion, and maybe Victoria's agreeing or not. Did she send another comment about the rest of the document, especially considering that she has been the one leading the working team?
Olga, this is Julie. This was the only comment that I saw with respect to this document.
So I propose the following. Up to number 4 elections that we could start reading now, we take the 3 communications B as a text to be redefined in between the working team, and we move forward. Do you think this is a good suggestion?
I agree with that.
Thank you, Tony.
Hey, Olga, it's Krista from Iron Mountain.
Krista, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good.
So just one thing I want to bring up at the end of this section is D is an incomplete sentence, I think.
Well, as it's written now, yes, I think you're right.
Olga, this is Julie. Krista has pointed out an important correction. D should actually read, all constituencies shall have a published privacy policy providing for the protection of private data. Protection of private data of members, period. And it appears that a bit more got deleted than should have been, and I will correct the wiki and refresh it here shortly.
Yeah, I think that private should haven't been strike through. I think this is the mistake. So, Julie, just for the record and for the transcript, could you read the D as it would remain the final text?
Yes, Olga, this is Julie. D should read, all constituencies shall have a published privacy policy providing for the protection of the private data of members. Period.
Great. Krista, are you okay with that sentence?
Yes.
The rest of the working team?
Olga, this is Julie. I see no other dissensions here, so I would say yes.
Great. Anyway, perhaps for three on, part two, three on, we could leave this text as to be revised and recommended by the working team and other people that may want to do that. Great. Julie, would you be so kind to read from point four, elections?
Certainly, Olga. And I should note that there was some discussion of point four elections, but I think the...
yes, I remember that.
Right. But I think that it was still under discussion. I'll read it with the changes that suggested changes noted as part of the text. Section 4, elections. A, all constituency elected positions, striking offices, including representatives to stakeholder groups and the GNSO Council, shall have a maximum 2-year limit and a maximum of 2 consecutive terms added in that same position. An officer who has served 2 consecutive terms must remain out of office for 1 full term prior to serving any subsequent term added in that same position, stricken as an officer. Constituencies stricken can, inserted may. Constituencies may elect terms and term limits below these maximums at their discretion. And added text is, when circumstances demand exceptions to this requirement, exceptions may only be made with support from 2/3 majority of the membership, period. That is the text for A.
Yes, I remember we had discussions, and I couldn't hear who wanted to talk. I'm sorry. Okay. Yes, I remember the discussions we had in one conference call. We made these additions and some deletions. Do the working team members in the call present now agree with this proposed text, which, by the way, was the one published in the wiki for several weeks?
Yeah, this is Tony. I agree with this text. It was what we discussed on the call 2 weeks ago, and I think it is a far more adequate framework for what we want to achieve with this particular point.
Thank you, Tony. Other members of the working team, Krista, Rafiq?
Olga, it's Krista. So I've missed the last couple calls because the time is a time I can't make it, and so I'm going to apologize in advance that I may not have the context of the previous conversations. But I think generally our stakeholder group feels like the group itself, the stakeholder group, should make determinations about what are voting thresholds, and not something that should be dictated by the GNSO or set by the GNSO. And so that's one comment. The second comment is I think there's Annex A, which also has references to percentages for different things, and I think they differ from what's here, if I'm reading it correctly. So those are my comments.
Thank you, Krista. One question. Would you like to revise the text in the light of your constituency and propose a different wording?
Sure.
Okay. Could we have this text before the next call so we may see it as a group and discuss it and perhaps include it or just review it in as a group? Maybe I think we will have our next call, not this Friday, but the other one. So that would be a acceptable time frame for sending this text?
Yeah, I'll get it in the next few days probably, but definitely before the next call.
Great. So, Julie, could you be so kind to add as a action item that Krista will revise this part of the document.
All good.
And we'll perhaps send some suggested change.
Olga, I'll add that as an action item. But I think, Rafiq, did you have a comment?
Okay. So, about this part, I agree with this part, so I don't have any comment.
Thank you, Rafiq. Okay, are we okay if we move forward and wait for Krista's suggestions about this text?
Okay with me, Tony.
Thank you, Tony.
Olga, you're unable to see here, but we have a couple of people from the council who would like to make some comments. Please, Mary Wong.
Sure.
Are we still on section 5? The voting?
Actually, we are on
section... We're still on 4.
Yes,
okay, correct. Then I'll hold my comment till we get to 5.
Okay, thank you, Mary. Other comments?
Olga, this is Julie. Would you like me to read section 4B as well?
Yes, please.
Thank you. Section 4B, it is recommended... And then the text added was, going forward, that constituencies publish and maintain a list of all office holders, past and present, deleted are the words, since inception, to inform new members of the experience of other constituency members and to provide transparency for term limits.
This is Tony. This is what we agreed on when we discussed it on the call. The idea is to do this as from now, and not go back in history 12 years or so.
Olga, it's Krista. I agree with
exactly.
Tony.
Thank you, Tony, for commenting. Sorry, I interrupted someone talking.
It's Krista. I just wanted to say that I agree with Tony.
Thank you. Thank you, Krista. Other comments?
Olga, this is Julie. We have another comment here.
Oh, it's Marilyn Cade. I have just a question. I'm a member of the business constituency, and I'm not actively following this issue, but I have a question about what B means. This is saying that all constituencies, all members within all constituencies shall have equal voting rights. I was reading that as related to elections, so I'll hold my question till then.
I'm so sorry. I didn't follow exactly your comment, Marilyn. Because there was a part of it that I couldn't hear.
Olga, this is Julie. Marilyn was actually commenting on, wanted to comment on Section 5 voting, the next section.
Oh.
Should I perhaps read that that section?
Are we okay, so with B? No comments for B.
Okay with that.
Great, Tony. Thank you so much. Julie, is someone else wanted to comment?
Olga, I see no more comments from this side.
Great. Let's go for 5.
Okay. Section 5, voting. All constituencies shall permit all voting members in good standing to vote in an election. B, all members, whether natural or legal persons, shall have equal voting rights. C, members shall be entities to appoint proxies. D, no legal or natural person shall be entitled to vote twice. E, no legal or natural person shall be entitled to join more than one constituency as a voting member. And perhaps I'll go ahead and repeat A again if we want to take these in order. A, all all constituencies shall permit all voting members in good standing to vote in an election, period.
Comments. Please note that this part of the document was not revised by the working team, so comments are welcome.
Any comments here in Nairobi?
Olga, it's Krista. So in 5B, it should be, at least from our perspective, all voting members, not members, because we have voting members and non-voting members in our constituency. We're on A. Never mind. No comment. No comments on A.
Are we okay with A? So we move to B. No okay. Comments for A.
A looks okay, Olga.
Great. Thank you, Tony. Julie, could you be so kind to read B?
Certainly, Olga. This is Julie. B. All members, whether natural or legal persons, shall have equal voting rights.
Rita, you had a comment.
Yes. Now that we're on B, this should be voting members, at least from our perspective, because we have voting members and non-voting members, and so we don't want to give voting rights to people who are not voting members.
That's a good comment. Any other comments from other constituency representatives?
Hi, this is Debbie from NCSG. My other question, kind of related to Krista's question, is do all voting members have equal voting rights? And I don't know if that's just a question, so maybe from a point of clarity, you might want to wrap your hands around that.
Sure, yes. All voting members have equal voting rights.
Let me remind you that this is a proposed text by the self-task working team. So the idea is to propose changes or amendments, or this is our opportunity to change it before it goes to the council.
Olga, this is Julie. I should note that Zahid has joined us, and he does have a comment.
Hi.
Zahid, welcome.
Thanks, Olga. A point we were discussing early in all our conference calls, there are other constituencies which do not have equality as regards certain voting. There are weighted votings for certain members as well, say associations, and we've had a long conversation about this. I'm just wondering how this would be represented in 5B, because it says all members were the natural legal persons, and associations are natural legal persons in certain jurisdictions, shall have equal voting rights with other individuals or a company. So that sort of will go against many of the things that the IPC and the BC and many others are probably doing. And I'm just wondering how we'd address that. And I see Tony sort of shaking his head, and maybe he can also comment on that.
My suggestion would be that we strike this strike B complete. I mean, it doesn't make any sense because it goes against what constituency practices.
This is Julie. Other comments? I think Marilyn, you had your hand up. Okay, Marilyn's comment has been taken care of. Olga?
Yes. Any comments about the suggestion made by Tony, deleting 5B?
Olga, it's Krista. I'd be fine with that.
Okay. Zahid?
I'm fine with that. This is
what do you think about deleting it?
I agree with it. Thanks, Olga.
This is Jamie. Are you proposing to remove completely?
Sorry, I couldn't hear you very well.
So, yeah, okay, but so the members will have different voting rights.
In some constituencies.
Who was this?
Yeah, but it remains kind of undefined, these rights, okay? That's my concern.
I cannot know who's calling. I'm sorry. I don't know if it's Jamie or Rafiq or who. Julie,
hello? It was Jamie.
Oh, Jamie. Great. Thank you, Jamie. Jamie, do you have a text? Maybe perhaps you can propose a text for this 5B paragraph.
I was just, it's Jamie again, I was just arguing with Tony about his proposal of removing entirely this item B. And I was questioning if the different voting rights does not remains undefined. So
if I might make a comment, this is Tony. I think
I couldn't hear very well Jamie's comment, so perhaps Tony, you can rephrase it. I can hear your voice very clearly, but not Jamie's.
Okay, perhaps I can interface with you then. I think Jamie was just expressing a legitimate concern that we may not have left this point duly clarified. Basically, my suggestion was, since some constituencies have different bylaws or their constituencies are set up in certain ways as far as voting members, this B statement would not be applicable. So it might be wiser just to leave it out. That was what we were discussing.
And which was Jamie's concern? Because it was very hard for me to understand. It was not clear the point.
My concern is that if it, this item is just removed, the rights, the voting rights, remain undefined. Did you understand that, Olga?
Yes, now I got it. Thank you so much, Jamie. I apologize. Some of you are more clear than others, and the distance. It is my opinion, and I don't please know that I don't belong and work with any constituency. I think that each constituency has their own rules, so it's not that we are not taking care of that issue, it's that each constituency will do by themselves. This is my point. So I don't see problems in deleting it, but of course it's only my opinion.
Olga, this is Julie. We have several people in a queue here. I think that Jamie would like to respond to that. I see Mary, also Zahid, and also Marilyn. Please.
Yeah, please go ahead.
My suggestion then is to refer to this constituency to keep item B, but rephrase it as to refer to the constituency bylaws and say that the voting rights of different members will be defined by the each constituency.
That's a very good suggestion. Thank you, Jamie. Who else is on the queue?
This is Mary, Olga, and everyone. I was
Mary, go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi, nice to hear from you, too. I was going to make the same suggestion as Jamie, and maybe the provision, instead of being stricken, could say something like, all constituency charters shall clearly delineate the voting rights of all of its members.
Great. Great suggestion. Could you please draft something with Jamie, perhaps, and some others that agree with this idea and propose it to the group? Who else is on the queue?
And I should note, Olga, this is Julie, that we also have Chuck join the queue. So I see Zahid and... Oh, okay, Zahid is acceding to Chuck. Chuck, please go ahead.
Thanks, Julie and Olga, and I apologize for being late. I set my alarm a half hour too late. so didn't get up till 2:30 when you started. So on this issue... I agree with many who have said that, you know, every constituency and stakeholder group are a little bit different in terms, first of all, in terms of what a member is. For example, in the registry, members are organizations always. And we have very different sized organizations that are members. So in our case, we have... A rather elaborate voting system that involves, in one case, every organization having one vote, and in another case, organizations having votes not proportionate to their size, but certainly a little more weighted depending on the number of registrations. So we tried to balance both sides of a of the issue, anybody can read that if they want. Of course, that is one of the reasons why making equal voting just didn't work. And I know that's true of quite a few other constituencies and stakeholder groups as well. Now, if we can come up with wording that is wording that accommodates that variability and flexibility, while at the same time ensuring that every member has some voting rights within the group, then I think that works and that it's fair.
Thank you, Chuck. Your comment is similar to what Jamie and Mary suggested. So I encourage you to perhaps craft a new 5B, including that issue.
I would if I could, as soon as I can get my computer.
No,
up.
I know. I think that perhaps Jamie and Mary can propose it to the working team.
Olga, this is Julie. Olga, we have other comments on this issue here on the floor.
Sure.
Zahid?
This is Zahid. Olga, I'm just thinking, usually being from a common law background, if you leave something unsaid, it means it's you can do it. So if we deleted it, then, okay. I mean, it does. There's nothing to prohibit weighted voting. But understanding in certain, we want to be clarifying this, saying that weighted voting is protected and safeguarded. Maybe all we need to do is say a constituency may provide for weighted voting in their charter, full stop. And the reason I say may is because some do have it and some don't.
Comments about Sahih's suggestion?
Olga, it's Krista. Just comments on the general discussion. So I agree actually more with what Mary's saying. I think even just saying that it should be defined in their charter, then you can have weighted voting, you can have equal rights voting, you can have whatever, but people know by looking at the charter of the group that what the voting structure is. And hopefully that also addresses Jaime's concerns.
And Olga, this is
have
Julie.
A comment?
Marilyn Cade has a comment.
Marilyn, go ahead.
Thanks. The last language offered, I think, also allows for a constituency to have members who do not vote because they are in a special class of membership. That may be an associate member, it may be an observer status or something else that's established. As long as that's established in the charter and the agreed to and accepted, I'm assuming we're not trying to dictate that right? So the last language merely says that the charter will define, as I understood it, will define the voting rights.
May define.
Marilyn, when you said when you mentioned the last text, you mean the one suggested by Zahid?
Yes. Thank you, Olga.
Olga, Jamie has a comment here.
Jamie, go ahead.
I would like to ask Mary to repeat. I think the wording she gave it was okay for me. Good.
Thanks, Jamie. And not being a member of this work team, I really appreciate it. So for all of you letting me butt in right now, I think the language I proposed was something along the lines of all constituency charters shall clearly delineate the voting rights of
voting members.
Of its members.
Voting members, I would say.
Well, you can if you delineate or you clearly delineate the voting rights of all your members, you can say that some don't or that some are in a different class or that there's weighted voting and so forth and all the incidents that Zahid and Marilyn mentioned. So as Marilyn said, the idea is not to impose on constituencies what they should do but to tell people where they can find their rights.
I endorse.
Olga, can this Chuck again? I'm sorry, I haven't been able to log in yet to get in.
Sure. Hold on, Chuck. Is someone else going to talk before Chuck, Julie?
There's no one else in the queue here on this side.
Okay, Chuck, go ahead, please.
I think we're on our right track, but there are two distinct issues here. One of them is whether or not every eligible member should have some voting rights. That's one issue. And the other one I think we've pretty much accomplished is, and I think it's right, that those whatever the voting rights are, they should be clearly communicated and publicly available on the constituency or stakeholder group site. Now, I think I heard Marilyn suggest that some eligible members might not have any right to vote at all, and I'm not sure that's the right way to go. Now, maybe it's a distinction between what we might call regular members and, like she referred to, as associate members. I know the for example, Center has that kind of a provision where they have associate members that don't vote. But as far as their regular members, I think all their regular members have some right to vote. So that's what I'm getting at in that regard. And maybe Marilyn can see if something like that, like regular members, have a right to vote. Not equal votes, but regular members have a right to vote in some capacity, is what I'm suggesting.
Let me respond to Chuck. Chuck, thank you. It's Marilyn Cade. I'm also not a member of this working group, but have been trying to follow its work. You know, when we get into the use of terms like regular member, then we have to define what regular member means. I was using the example of associate member because that is an existing construct in some of the commercial stakeholder group constituencies, and is a concept that might evolve within the BC. For instance, a non-paying member, hypothetically, associations could extend non-member status to their qualified members who are participating as members, but they're non-voting members. They're in a different category. But I'm going to try to avoid defining categories of membership, because looking at this, I think the goal of this group is to provide a framework of consistency without dictating in a top-down manner the parameters or conditions of how a constituency will deliver services to its members, right? So I'm trying to stay away from regular members. And I think the language of, you know, we're going to be putting this forward and asking for further comment on it. We're trying to just create a framework of consistency, not absolute consistency, right?
Well, Marilyn, I'm not sure that's totally correct, because I think what some of the members, and I don't think they're of this working team, wanted to make sure is that no eligible members were excluded from voting in some capacity. I think what you're suggesting, and I understand the difficulty of defining regular, so I'm with you on that, that if somebody's eligible to vote, and I agree with you, if they've paid, and that means they've paid their fees, like, for example, in the registry stakeholder group, someone who doesn't pay their fees loses their right to vote at some point. But let me use the business constituency. If there's a business that meets the eligibility requirement, including they've paid their dues and so forth, one of the intents that was that we were trying to accomplish in the work team was that business should have a right to participate in the voting of the group. Now, how do we accomplish that without being overly rigid? Because I also totally support the need for flexibility in terms of the voting structure. Did that make any sense?
Hi, Chuck. This is Tony. I think we're getting a little jumbled up with B, because if you read A again, it says all constituencies shall permit all voting members in good standing to vote in an election. If we're saying voting members, by implication, there may be some members that do not vote. Otherwise, why don't we just say members? So we've covered that in A. I don't really see the need to have a B, which goes back to that, revisits it, and perhaps begins to open up into the details of what we actually want to do. Because basically, as has been said by other people at the meeting, I mean, this is, at least in my understanding of this work, is we're providing a framework and not really getting into very specific, let's say, dictates to how a constituency should operate in this instance.
And Tony, I think you're right on that. I think that's a very good point.
Yes, this is Olga. It's a good point, Tony. So again, about B, should we rephrase it, delete it?
Olga,
we have a proposal from Mary and Zahid. We have two different languages, or perhaps we can try to find one language that fits both proposals.
Olga, this is Julie. I think Mary's proposed language, perhaps I could read it again, and we could have comments on that again. So, everyone, the proposed language... Oh, Zahi, did you have a comment first?
Yeah, I put some language up there on the chat tree. I don't know if Olga and everybody else can see it. We're basically trying to address this... I think we're basically trying to address the same issue in A as in B, saying... One, that everybody can vote and that it should be provided in the charter. All you need to do, if you look at some of the language that I've put up, it says, all constituencies shall permit all voting members in good standing to vote in an election as delineated in their charter. And that's just A.
Julie, okay. Could you read it? Because I cannot read it. It's so small in the...
I'll go ahead and read it again from language from Zahid. All constituencies shall permit all voting members in good standing to vote in an election as delineated in their charters.
And could you please read the proposal made by Mary?
The language from Mary is, all constituency charters shall clearly delineate the voting rights of all of their members.
I think both are somehow close. So perhaps we can find one text that fits both proposals. Zahid and Mary, could you please, perhaps you can work on this wording and send it to the working team? Maybe not today if you're very busy, but any day in this week. Does it sound a good idea?
Anything for you, Olga?
Yeah, Olga, absolutely.
Great, thank you so much. So, if the group is right with this idea, perhaps Julie, you can add an action point saying that number five, voting B, will have a text proposed by Mary and Zahid, hopefully putting both ideas together. I think they are very similar, so it will be easy to find a final text.
So, Olga, are you saying to include both statements?
Well, what I'm trying to... I think both are close, so perhaps...
They are subtly different. I would support including both statements. Now, maybe we need to fix them a little bit so it's smooth, but one says... Mary says that the charters have to thoroughly communicate what the voting procedures are and requirements. The other one says that all constituencies shall permit all voting members in good standing to vote in an election as delineated in their charter. Now, that may be covered by the previous bullet, so we can decide that, but I think they both say something that's significant and I think good.
Yes, this is why I'm trying to find a text that includes both ideas. That's my proposal, but maybe you disagree and you want to propose something different.
Olga, this is Julie. May I ask a question?
Sure.
I have a question for Zahid. Zahid, I'm reading your language again, and I'm looking at the current language for A, which says all constituencies shall permit all voting members in good standing to vote in an election. Did you mean for your language to replace the language in A?
It reproduces that and just adds something on. That's it. It's an addition, sort of. Rather than sort of have two separate sections for it, maybe you can just deal with it in one and that deals with it and leaves the aspects of what kind of voting that will be open. That was the intention, but we can continue to work on it. Mary and me can sort of come up with some language.
This is Julie. My point in asking Zahid was that I think that Mary's language was suggested to replace the language in B. So I'm wondering if we could consider Zahid's language for additional language for A and A. Mary's as a proposal for language for B.
I think it's a good idea. What do others think?
That's fine. This is Zahid saying it's okay.
Olga?
Yes.
What
go ahead.
About putting Mary's statement in A and Zahid's in B? In other words, replacing the language that's there. Because I think that still maintains the concept that was in A, in I think Zahid's language. But what about that approach?
Yeah, I like it. Julie, could you be so kind to read in A the text proposed by Mary and in B proposed by Zahid? Is that your proposal, Chuck?
Yes.
Okay.
This
could
is
you read it so we can think about it as a whole?
Yes, this is Julie. So the language would be, the new A would read, all constituency charters shall clearly delineate all voting rights of all, the voting rights of all of their members. And the new B would read, all constituencies shall permit all voting members in good standing to vote in an election as delineated in their charters.
Much better. This is Jamie.
Jamie, I just heard your name. Which was your comment?
Much better. Perfect.
Okay. Any other comments?
Tony, this is Julie. Did you have any comments on that?
I'm struggling with this.
No, not now.
Other people wanted to comment, Julie, in the room?
This is Julie. I see no more comments from the room.
Okay, great. Let's do the following. Let's leave this new language. Thank you, Mary. Thank you, Zahid, for your suggestion. And thank you, Chuck, for your suggestion about putting the language in different ways. And let's leave it as a draft and see if other members of the working team comment about it. Do you think that's a good idea?
Okay.
Okay. Here are no comments. Julie, can we go to 5Z?
Actually, I think that we've addressed B in this standing that Mary
wants.
C, that's fine, yes. I shall read 5C. Members shall be entities to appoint proxies.
And this is Olga. I would
okay.
like.
It's actually.
To explain this sentence to me because I don't understand. Maybe I'm so ignorant about something.
No, Olga, you're correct. This is
someone explain this to me.
Olga, you're correct. Actually, this is a typo. It should read: members shall be entitled to appoint proxies. Thank you, Zahid.
Oh, that's different. I didn't know about entities to appoint proxies. So members shall be entitled to appoint proxies. Could someone tell me what it's a proxy?
Olga, this is Tony. I may be wrong, yes. But I believe that this is useful if there is some voting to be done. And that's the reason for the proxies, but I could be wrong.
Is this a useful? It is usually made in constituencies. Could someone comment and say if this is okay if we include this language or not?
Hi, Olga, this is Zahid. We're just getting some feedback talking here. One of the things is it possible for us to change this to members may be entitled to appoint proxies, leaving it up to their constituencies to do so, so they don't have to, and so we're not dictating to the constituencies per se, and that language may give some space.
Well, this is somehow my comment. Charles is very strong, so you're suggesting shall instead may. So you said may instead of shall.
Yes, I am.
Any other comments? Are we okay with the sentence with the change suggested by Zahid?
Yes.
Thank you, Tony. Other comments? Does someone want to comment, Julie?
Olga, this is Julie. I see no more comments from the room.
Okay. Thank you, Zahid, for your suggestion. Could you change the language, Julie, and could you read it again? Changing the typo and changing the verb.
Yes. So C reads, members may be entitled to appoint proxies.
Great. Comments? Comments in the room?
Olga, this is Julie. There are no comments from the room. Oh, Zahid, I'm sorry. No comments from the room. Olga,
thank
shall
you.
I read D?
Thank you very much. Yes, please.
No legal or natural person shall be entitled to vote twice.
Comment. Are we okay with shall in this sentence?
We could add thrice also.
Olga, it's Marilyn.
What is your suggestion, Tony?
Okay, it's Marilyn. What's it about? What's the purpose of it? Because I can't understand what it's needed for.
Marilyn, you're suggesting we take it out?
You know, Olga, I am, because I just remind all of us that everything we write is then going to be reviewed by the legal counsel, and anything we put in that's ambiguous is just going to come back to us, you know. So is this serving a purpose? Is somebody concerned that a constituency would decide to allow double voting voting twice by one of their members? Well, in their charter, they're going to define that anyway.
I agree with Marilyn. This is Tony. I think it's superfluous.
It's Krista. I also agree with Marilyn, and it's sort of back to the same issue of voting rights and how they're counted and all of that stuff should be in the charters, and that's sort of that.
Zahid, I agree.
Great. So we can delete it. Julie, can you write through?
Olga, this is Julie. Then I will indicate it as stricken. I will read the next.
Comments about 5D? Comments in the room?
There are no further comments in the room.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for the suggestion, Marilyn. I think it's a very good comment.
Olga,
5E.
I will read E. No legal or natural person shall be entitled to join more than one constituency as a voting member.
Julie? I don't think this is a very fortunate wording. Why would we refer to join more than one constituency? I mean, it's not involved in the title. We're talking about voting, not about joining constituencies. No, it's something different, Jamie. I'm sorry. It's something different.
Hello, it's, I lost the audio.
Olga, it's Marilyn again. I'm not looking at our bylaws, at the ICANN bylaws, but I am unfortunately burdened by corporate memory or ICANN memory, whichever one fits here. We debated this extensively at the time we set up the constituencies, and there was a significant concern about entities joining multiple constituencies and obtaining votes in multiple constituencies and therefore actually losing diversity of representation. So, within just speaking for the BC, for instance, our charter does not allow, our charter asks whether parties are joining members of another constituency, and it also requires them to have different representation. But, you know, I think this is an important thing to understand. Many companies have different interests, and if they are eligible to join multiple constituencies, that's one thing. But if they are joining multiple constituencies as voting members, I think we are beginning to raise a concern about the representativeness of the votes that are being put forward.
So what's your suggestion, Marilyn, about 5E?
I think what I would propose to the room is to consider if the intent is to enable companies or entities to be members of multiple constituencies for which they are eligible, but to hold voting rights in only one, if that's the intent, then that would be the language that we should try to write around. And let me just say one more thing. For example, contracted parties are not eligible to be members of the business constituency. They're precluded in our charter.
Thank you, Marilyn. Any other comments? Tony, going back to your comment, would you take it out or you would change the language?
Olga, I'm thinking about it basically. I think Marilyn has expanded very usefully on this, but I'm not sure I would be comfortable with the sentence as it stands right now. I think it deserves some more thought by the committee as a whole. Perhaps we should sort of leave it pending for further comment and work going forward so we have a chance to think about it and revisit it.
Great. The suggestion. Any other comments from other constituency members? Does someone want to comment, Julie, in the room?
Olga, this is Julie. I see no more comments in the room.
So, Tony, would you be so kind to revise the text and propose a different language?
Okay. I'll try. Thank you.
You're laughing. I'm giving a lot of work to you, but you're a good worker.
No, that's okay. I'll even forgive you for not coming and bringing my medicine, but that's another thing.
Oh, okay. I feel guilty. Great. Thank you, Tony. Please, Julie, put it as an action item that Tony. Perhaps, Tony, you may have help from other working team member. That someone volunteered to help Tony.
Okay, thanks, Olga.
No comment? Okay, you will have to work alone. I'm so sorry. Okay, we are done with 5 voting, and we should move forward to 6 charter amendments. Julie, could you please read 6A, which is the only point for 6?
Yes. Number 6, charter amendments. The procedure for amending constituency charters should be standard and stipulated in the constituency charter.
Comments? I have a general comment. Should this be stated as it is? Is it not redundant? Any comments in the room?
Olga, I'm not seeing any comments in the room.
So we like the language and we leave it as it is? No comments?
This is Zahid. I'm just trying to figure out what we mean by the amending procedures shall be standard. I'm not clear what that means.
This is Tony. Perhaps we could say, take our standard and just say should be stipulated in the constituency charter.
You suggest to take out the word standard? Yes, because we don't define standard, so we don't know what it is.
This is Krista Olga.
I find it redundant anyway.
Olga, it's Krista.
Does someone want to talk? Krista, go ahead.
I was just going to say I agree with Tony. I think we should just strike those two words.
Sorry, which was your comment, Krista?
Olga, this is Julie. Would you like me to read it with the stricken language?
Sure, please.
The procedure for amending constituency charters should be stipulated in the constituency charter.
Perhaps we could say therein at the end so as not to have to repeat constituency charter again.
What's your proposal, Tony?
Olga, this is Julie. I'll read it with the change. The procedure for amending constituency charters should be stipulated therein.
That's okay. Are we okay with this language? Okay. Great. Any comments in the room?
I shall read it again. The procedure for amending constituency charters should be stipulated therein. Olga, this is Julie. It appears to be that there's assent with that language in this room.
Great. So we're okay with it. Okay, number 7, meetings. We have A and B. Julie, please read 7A.
7, meetings, A. It is recommended constituencies adopt simple and accessible basic meeting procedure. An example is at Annex A. Constituencies are also referred to the GNSO bylaws, operating procedures, and the GNSO working group operating model.
There's a wording problem there, perhaps.
For those who are new to this, could we jump to Annex A so they have benefit to know what they're referring to?
Zahid, I see that Chuck has his hand raised. Did you have a comment, Chuck?
Well, I was back on number 6, so I lowered my hand because I wasn't quick enough to get back on 6. I'll go ahead since I'm on. I'm not advocating this position, but I think the person on our team who's not on this call who drafted this the main portions of this document with others' help actually intended in 6 that the procedures for amending charters were consistent across groups. Now, again, like I said, I'm not necessarily advocating that, but I, in fairness to that person who's not on the call, I wanted to point out that we changed, the change that was made moved away from that. And as long as there's strong support for that, I think I can live with that too. But I just wanted to, in fairness, make sure that we understood what we did.
Sorry, Chuck, this is Olga. So you feel that the changed language is very different from the first one?
In number 6, yes, it is. Number the way it was worded said, basically, and it wasn't worded very well, but it basically said that all charters have to have standard language for amending their charters. We moved away from that. Now, again, I'm not advocating the position that was originally contained in the wording, but I'm pointing out that we did make a change that I know one member of our group will disagree with. So, I'm just pointing that out. Also.
No, but it's interesting how you pointed out, because I read it differently, and if you add the standard, you add another word to when you mentioned it, it sounds totally different. Your interpretation of it is different from mine. Maybe
it says the procedure for amending constituency charters should be standard. We took that part out.
Yes.
Olga,
that's all I'm pointing out. That is different now.
Olga, this is Julie. Jamie also has a comment. No,
Jamie,
he does not. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, I don't know if you heard. We didn't know exactly what standard meant in this sentence, and perhaps you can, if you see it as relevant word, perhaps you can tell us what a standard means in this sentence.
Well, standard's not that complicated. What was intended here, I believe, and I'm speaking for someone else who's not on the call. It means that every charter would basically have the same procedures for amending their charters. The way we change the wording, that is no longer there. And again, I'm not advocating that position. I'm just making sure, for the sake that we move forward, and when that person's on the call, Olga.
No, I agree with you, but it's interesting that you the way that you read it and interpret it is different. So,
and how would you interpret standard differently?
Well, for me, it's a word that it's not defined, so I don't know what standard means in this case. What's a standard?
Olga, it's Marilyn. Can I just interject that my understanding of standard is that it means the same. And, you know, if you look at how standards are developed in technology, or we have a standard approach, it means the same. So, you know, I would just defer to others who've been working on this, but my concern about...
This is I. Am I in the queue? Yeah. Okay.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Olga. The language of standard, I understand what Chuck is saying, is standard. It should be the same. And I agree with Marilyn. That's what it means. But someone's going to have to set that standard. Is someone going to tell us what that standard is? Is it going to be the legal counsel? Because all constituency charters are going to have to be the same then with regard to this provision. Now, how are we going to decide that? How do we know what to put inside and who tells us? I understand the point of the individual who put that in and had a comment on this. I don't mean Chuck. I mean the other person. I'm just concerned about what that language will be. Do we have to negotiate that? Do we have to all get together in different constituencies and negotiate that? So I'm not sure, because there may be different voting thresholds for amending in different constituencies. It's a possibility. I'm not saying that it should be that or shouldn't be that, but it's a possibility. I'm just wondering, how do we all get together in all constituencies and negotiate that together if it's going to be standard?
Olga, let me suggest that we go ahead and move on. My main purpose was to make sure that we were all clear on the working team of what we just did, because it will be brought up again. Okay?
Yeah, I know. And would you be so kind, Chuck, to rephrase the way that you did it minutes ago? It's not exactly the way that as it's written, it's the way that you interpret it, which I totally understood it differently. But I thought it was a very good suggestion.
Yeah, I'll see what I can do on that.
Okay, thank you. Maybe we can have both proposals, the one changed by the group and yours, and we can decide later. Thank you, Chuck. Where were Julie? We were in 7A?
Yes, perhaps I'll read it again so it's fresh.
Yeah, sure.
A, it is recommended constituencies adopt simple and accessible basic meeting procedure. An example is at Annex A. Constituencies are also referred to the GNSO bylaws, operating procedures, and the GNSO working group operating model.
I would like to move to Annex A to see the example. It's in the end, right?
Oh, good. This is Julie. I'll skip down to Annex A and read it. Hold on, please, for a moment. Okay, this is Julie. I am reading Annex A, Basic Meeting Procedure, Organization of General Meetings. 1. Attendance and Participation. 1.1. Any member in good standing, in parens, quote unquote, member, can speak and vote at a general meeting. 1.2. The Executive Committee can make arrangements as they consider appropriate to enable members attending a general meeting to exercise their rights to speak and vote at it. 1.3. In determining attendance at a general meeting, it is immaterial whether any two or more members attending it are in the same place, provided they are able to speak and vote. 1.4. Non-members may attend and speak at meetings by invitation. 2. Quorum. 2.1. No business can be done at a meeting without a quorum. 2.2, a quorum shall be a certain percentage of the membership. 3, chairs. 3.1, the meeting must appoint a chair as the first business of the meeting. 4, notice. 4.1, meetings shall be called on 7 days' notice in writing to all members. 4.2, the notice shall give the date and time and the general nature of the business. 5, voting. 5.1, a resolution put to the vote of a general meeting must be decided on a show of hands by members if attending in the same place or by the chair calling the names of those present. Olga, I'm sorry. Yeah, should we stop there?
No, I just lost you, but you're back.
Okay. I'll finish reading, but I think we'll probably want to take these one by one. Zahid has a general comment. Olga, Zahid has a general comment.
Sure, go ahead, Zahid.
Thank you, Olga. I think the basic rule here that we were trying to follow through, at least in this meeting, and I think we've done that earlier, is we don't want to dictate charters and specify the charter and say, here's a model charter, and this is what you're going to abide by. That clause, which was earlier referred to, is speaking about an Annex A, which actually incorporates the whole charter and dictates to us that, you know, 7 days' notice, quorum, etc., all those things. I think that's overkill. I think what we're trying to do is give constituencies the right to be able to define their own charter, but this is a model charter that we're having to take on, and I think that as a general idea, I think it's just not advisable. I mean, we would definitely in the BC oppose that.
So, you're proposing? What's your proposal?
Delete Annex A.
Okay. I think it goes in too many details, and I agree with you that this we don't want to. I mean, every constituency will have to deal with their own charters and definitions. Any other comments?
I agree with Saeed's proposal to delete Annex A.
Thank you, Tony. Any other comments?
It's Krista. I agree with Saeed's proposal as well.
Okay. Chuck, comment?
I'm okay with that.
Okay, me too. So I propose that in this new draft we delete Annex A.
Olga, may I read 7 meetings letter A with the change?
Yes.
It is recommended constituencies adopt simple and accessible basic meeting procedure. Constituencies are also referred to the GNSO bylaws, operating procedures, and the GNSO working group operating model.
Okay. okay with the second part of the sentence. Is the GNS a working group operating model already finished?
Olga, I agree with your question. I don't know the answer to that either. I'd like to ask, I mean, is there someone who can tell us?
No,
maybe
I
staff?
Don't have the answer, and just pointing my doubt. I remember the process of preparing this document that was some reference of this working process, but I'm not sure if it's done.
Olga, this is Julie. I think the GNSO working group operating model is still under development.
Yeah,
there's a comment from Marilyn.
Guys, Olga, it's Marilyn. If your concern is that it's because it's not finished, you could just put it in square brackets and remove the square brackets later. Because if
that's a good suggestion. Thank you, Marilyn. So are we okay with this second part of the A and keeping GNSO working group operating model in brackets as we know that it's ended and usable?
Okay.
Thank you, Tony. Any other comments in the room?
This is Olga. Julie, I see no more comments from the room.
Great. Thank you so much. 7B, please, Julie.
Yes. B, it is recommended minutes be taken at meetings of the general constituency membership and action points, decisions, and any resolutions or minutes be published to the entire constituency membership within a reasonable period.
Comments to 7B. Is it okay that we recommend the minutes to be published to the entire constituency membership?
I'm sorry, I was addressing a question. What was your comment, Olga?
You're asking me, Julie?
I'm sorry, I missed something. Are we okay with the wording on this? Okay. All right, then.
I made a question to the group and to the room. Are we okay saying that we recommend that the decisions and minutes be published to the entire constituency membership?
I don't see any opposition in the room.
Okay.
It seems to be okay.
Okay. Great. Any other comments in the room?
Olga, it's Krista. I just have a clarifying question. I noticed, and this may have been discussed on one of the calls I couldn't attend, so if it has, just tell me and I'll drop my question. But I noticed that we're using the word constituencies in this document, and I believe in the subtask 1.1 we defined it somehow as groups. We call it groups defined as stakeholder groups and constituencies, and I'm just wondering if we should just sort of carry that through our entire set of recommendations.
This is I that agree with that.
I think your point is well taken, Krista. Yes, I think we should do the same. What do others think?
Julie, that was wasn't that the global change we're going to make in the whole document?
Actually, Chuck, this is Julie. The global change, The global change, as stated before, was that we changed the language to constituencies and stakeholder groups, but we can certainly change it to groups as a global change.
Yeah,
that's fine for me. I think we have decided that it was going to be a global change a long time ago. Okay, thank you, Krista, for bringing this back and for reminding us about the change. We are okay with 7B, with this global change about groups, and let's go to 8, policy, 8A. Julie, could you please read it?
Yes, 8A. It is recommended that standing policy committees comply with similar rules as executive committees.
Comments?
This is Zahid. I'm not sure what that means. I mean, what are we trying to get at exactly? Executive committees work slightly differently. Policy committees may work differently. I'm just trying to. I'm not objecting to it. I just want to know if someone can help us with what this is supposed to address.
This is Chuck. Sorry for jumping in without putting my hand up, but I think for the sake of those that are observing this meeting and participating as they should, the working team, it shouldn't be perceived that the working team is has agreed on any of this language. That's why we're going through this exercise, okay? There was a small drafting team primarily driven by one person who drafted most of this language. So I want to share that context so that there's no misunderstanding that we as a working team wanted this much detail or all of the in particular details that are in there. That's why we're going through this painful exercise in this regard. And I'll just leave it at that.
Thank you, Chuck. This is Olga. We already explained why we're going through the document because sub-working team and working team vision. And so thank you for reminding the group about that. Do you have any comments about 8A? Because Zahid wants some explanation. Unfortunately, we don't have Victoria in the call. Is someone from Victoria's sub-working team that reminds that could remind us, which is the purpose of the sentence.
Olga, I'm not sure, but I don't think there's somebody from... Oh.
No,
I'm
not.
No, I don't believe there's someone from that.
Yeah,
perhaps, Olga... Olga, I might suggest that we ask for clarification from Victoria on this item.
Yeah, that's a great suggestion. So put it in brackets and let's add an action point about asking her clarification about 8A. And so we move forward to 8B.
8B. Policy committees shall be open to all members in good standing and, like other committees, shall publish their formation, work product, and decisions to the entire constituent membership and respond to requests for information by constituency members.
I'm going to sort of hold back my comment on the general concept, but I just see that it says, and like other committees, I just think that's redundant. That's just my first comment. I'm just thinking about what to do with the rest.
This is Krista. I agree that's redundant.
I do also, Tony Harris.
So, Julie, could you read the paragraph with the change proposed by or the suggestion sent by mentioned by Zahid?
Yes, Olga, this is Julie. Policy committee shall be open to all members in good standing and shall publish their formation, work product, and decisions to the entire constituency membership and respond to requests for information by constituency members.
I agree, it's much better.
Olga, yes, Olga. Olga Mary Wong has a comment.
Hi, sorry.
Go ahead.
Very minor comment, not at all substantive, unlike the last contribution. Could I ask the working team to make uniform the uppercase and lowercase usages of constituency members and membership? I know that's being horribly lawyerly, but I just thought I'd put that in there.
Olga, may I comment? This is Julie.
Sure, go ahead.
Mary, as Krista suggested and others agreed, we will now change all references to constituencies to groups, and there will be a definition at the beginning that will indicate that groups, you know, covers constituencies and stakeholder groups, and we'll be sure to capitalize constituency in that respect. Thank you.
Thank you, Julie, and Mary. We have been preparing this document in different subcommittees, sub-working teams. So there may be some differences, so just we're trying to make them homogeneous. This is what we're doing now. Thank you for your comment.
Olga, this is Zahid. I just had one other point.
Go ahead, Zahid.
I'm just thinking about this, and just wanted to highlight it for the rest of the work team members. It says, and respond to requests for information by constituency members. I'm just concerned about, you know, if they get overwhelmed with requests. I don't know. I mean, maybe it's not a problem. But are we okay with this language? I just wanted to sort of ask if it's an issue or not. I don't think it should be.
Sorry, I'm so sorry. I couldn't follow you.
I'm just looking at the language and seeing that, you know, it leaves open to the response to every request for information being necessary because it says in the charter. So I'm just wondering if that may be overkill or are we good with that? I just want to highlight that. I'm not objecting to it.
Okay.
Hi, this is a proposed change?
Olga, Deborah Hughes has a comment.
Olga, I was suggesting what? To the... I think for... What about this for 8B, if we add at the end within a reasonable period, similar to what we said in Section 7, you know, we're talking about all sorts of postings that give some reasonableness and allows some sort of... I guess way out for the person who's going to be responding to all these requests and accumulating them.
I agree with that comment.
Thank you, Debbie. Other comments about Debbie's suggestion?
It's Krista, I agree.
It's Tony, I agree also.
Thank you, Tony.
Olga, this is Julie. Shall I read the amended sentence?
Oh, exactly that one. I was going to ask you. Thank you.
So it reads, policy committees shall be open to all members in good standing and publish their formation, work product, and decisions to the entire constituency membership and to respond to requests for information by constituency members within a reasonable period.
That sounds very good. Comments to this new language? Chuck?
Olga?
Just a second, I'm catching up.
Other comments in the room?
Olga, there are no comments in
the
room.
What was the suggestion again?
Chuck, let me, this is Julie, let me go ahead and read it again. The suggestion was that B should be amended in two ways. The words "and like other committees" would be stricken, and the words "within a reasonable period" would be added at the end of the sentence. Thus, B would read, "Policy committee shall be open to all members in good standing and shall publish their formation, work product, and decisions to the entire constituency membership and respond to requests for information by constituency members within a reasonable period."
I think I'm okay with that. Those changes seem fine.
Thank you, Chuck. Okay, so any other comments in the room? So, Julie, did you capture the new language?
Yes, Olga, I have captured it. Shall I read C?
Yes, C.
Any member of a constituency shall be able to propose the policy committee consider a policy issue provided sufficient members agree.
This is Olga. Maybe my English is limited, but I don't understand the sentence. The last part of it.
This is Tony. I think the last part is a little risky because how do you define... what sufficient members means, it's a little undefined. The idea is not a bad idea. In fact, I would imagine at least the constituencies I'm familiar with, that's common practice. You wouldn't if somebody wants to make a proposal, you'd listen to him if he's a member. But I could be wrong, of course.
Olga, it's Krista. To be repetitive, isn't this just another area where we should sort of refer to the charter of the group?
comments to Krista's comment?
I think Krista made a good suggestion, Tony.
Zahid? What do you think about Krista's comment?
I agree with Krista and with Tony.
So, Krista, do you think that this, we should take it out?
Olga, I'm thinking, sorry. Bear with me.
Oh, no, no problem. Take your time. I'm also rereading it.
I mean, yeah, taking it out would
Any
be great.
Any other comments in the room? Sorry, I interrupted someone.
It's Krista.
Olga,
Chuck.
What suggestion are you asking about? Deleting C?
Krista commented that this is something relevant to a charter, and perhaps Krista, please correct me if I'm wrong. Too much detail for this general suggestion, the recommendations document. Did I catch you right, Krista?
Olga, it's Krista. You know, we could delete it. I do want to be cognizant of the fact that, you know, to Chuck's earlier point, the person that wrote this, and I think if we can even, rather than deleting it, to sort of try and preserve some of her work, if we can just clarify it, that, you know, that basically we give some flexibility to groups to define this in their charter. We're not making it so narrow in this particular document.
No, I'm okay. I'm not saying that we have to delete it. I'm just asking if it, perhaps it's too detailed and maybe it's not relevant for this document. That was only my comment.
Here's a suggestion, Olga. This is Chuck.
How about
if we just say any member of a constituency or a group, right, shall be able to propose the policy committee consider a policy issue, period.
I like that, because the last part of the sentence is, I really don't get it. I like it. Comment to Chuck's suggestion.
Perhaps if, this is Tony, perhaps if we added something at the end of Chuck's proposed text, which goes back to what Krista proposed, according to the group charter, then I think Chuck's text would fit into what we were trying to say when we started off.
This is Zahid. I'd agree with Tony's suggestion.
I that's fine. That's a good suggestion.
I like it. Yes, Julie, did you capture the comment made by Tony?
Yes, Olga. Shall I read the change?
Yeah, please. Go ahead.
Okay. Any member of a group shall be able to propose a policy committee consider a policy issue according to the group charter.
Could I make a modification to what I said? Instead of according to, I would say in accordance with.
Okay.
Okay.
Julie, could you read it again?
Yes, Olga, this is Julie.
Thank you.
Any member of a group shall be able to propose should be able to propose the policy committee consider a policy issue in accordance with the group charter.
Thank you, Julia. That, as far as I'm concerned, that reflects what I was trying to say.
I lost the audio. I'm not hearing you.
Olga, there's no additional comments here. I think the change is accepted.
Great. So we have agreed in a new text of modifications of the text in 8D. So we move to 8D. Please, Julie, read it for us.
Yes, D. Policy committee meetings should be open for attendance to all committee members and at the election of the constituency to the public.
comments to 8D.
This is Zahid. I just think it's overkill and unnecessary. I'm just saying. I just think it's overkill and unnecessary. If the constituency wants to open up, the discussion in public or within the group, I think they'll do that. I don't see why we need to dictate that to them. I'm concerned about the last words and add the election of the constituency to the public. I mean, how would they elect it? Is it 50-50? Is it? Is it a simple majority, or I just think that we're getting into areas where we're getting too deep.
This is Tony. I agree with what Saheed just said.
So you have suggested changes to the language.
Tony, would you agree to a deletion?
Yes.
Have a comment?
Yeah, Rafiq. So sorry, but I don't understand the point raised by Said.
What I'm trying to say is that this says, basically goes too deep and it's too detailed with regard to whether they're going to keep it open or not. Especially the last part where it says, at the election of the constituency, I'm trying to figure out what that means. Does that mean that they have to take a vote? And if they take a vote, is it 51%? Is it a two-third majority? And it just, you're getting into areas where the charters and you need to let the constituencies work according to their different ways. I'm just finding this a little too descriptive.
And if we delete the last part?
That's a bare minimum for me as far as this is concerned, I think. But even then, I think we're going into areas where we probably shouldn't be going into. That would be my comment. But if you definitely delete the last part.
Olga, Mary Wong has a comment. Mary?
Yes, hi, it's me again.
Mary, go ahead.
I take Zahid's point. I think it is important to remember that we really don't want to hamper or, tell constituencies how to run their meetings. But I think the idea behind this is transparency. So especially on policy issues. So I'm blanking on language right now, but may I propose that we rephrase this particular subsection to preserve the idea without going into process? There could be, for example...
Thank you, Mary, for the proposal. I think you may propose a different text.
I just knew you were going to say
okay
that.
Are we okay if Mary proposed... Sorry, I'm interrupting someone.
Can I ask your pencil?
I think I nominate Jamie. No. I'll be happy to take a stab at it, and I'll get back to the group as soon as possible.
Thank you very much, Mary. Are we okay that Mary is rephrasing this AD paragraph?
Yes.
Comments in the room?
This is Zahid, yes.
Thank you, Zahid. Okay, Mary. Thank you for your comment, Mary. Very, very useful. Julie, could we move to 9 GNSO Working Group 8?
Yes, Olga, this is Julie. I'll read 9 GNSO Work Group A. Any member of a constituency shall be entitled to join any GNSO work group in an individual capacity, and constituencies shall publish and advise all members of the call for work group participants.
Comments to this text? Are we okay with it? Are there comments in the room, Julie?
Olga, I should mention, it's come to my attention that we are preparing for lunch here. I think, probably need to close the session in the next 5 minutes or so.
No problem.
Perhaps.
Okay, great. So, we finish at the end of 8, right? So
exactly. Right, all good. This is Julie. I suggest we finish with the end of 8 and take up 9, GNSO work group, at our next meeting. Olga, can I ask a question? We have been on a weekly schedule for our meetings, but I should note that for some people, next week after the Nairobi meeting may be busy because people who have traveled are coming back to work. And I also should note that I will be unavailable for the call next week. Might I suggest that we take up a call at our regularly scheduled time or at a time that is convenient for work group members the following Friday, which I believe is the, Friday after work, the 26th. Thank you, Krista.
I'm okay with that.
Olga, it's Krista.
And in the meantime, the working group can revise the suggested changes and modifications and deletions, so we have enough time.
Olga, it's Krista. Before we close, can we just talk about the time of the meetings? Because I'd like to find a time that we can all attend. Preferably go back to the time that we used to have the meetings at, if that's possible. Or
I'm okay with both times, so it's up to the group. I'm okay with both.
I vote for what Julie is saying. I can get up later in the morning. Thank you, Julie.
So this,
what did you say, Julie?
I think Krista was suggesting that we go back to the original time, which was 9 o'clock Eastern time. I think 1400 UTC, I believe, yes. And I am seeing assent from some people on the call. I should mention that I know we had been scheduling the calls for 90 minutes. I do have a standing meeting at the end of the hour. It would be 10 o'clock Eastern time, so I would not be able to do a 90-minute call, but I could do an hour call.
Let's do the following. I am okay with both times, and I would like Krista to join us. Julie, could we perhaps set up a doodle again and try to find the best time, and so maybe everyone in the working group can express their concerns?
Olga, perhaps rather than doing a doodle, which can be time-consuming, and because I should note that we have actually very little leeway on the times available to us because of other working groups, that in my summary for this meeting that I suggest that the time return to the previous time and ask for comments from work team members as to whether or not there are any concerns with that time.
Okay. Hello?
So Olga, I think that we've agreed on that. Did you want to ask if there was any other comments before we adjourn?
Any other comments? I think we finished. And comments in the room? Those participating online, remotely, any comments?
Stefan has something he would like to say.
No, I'm waiting for you to finish, and then I will jump in just to introduce what's happening next before you close.
Okay, just want to thank everyone, the working team members and those who are not in the working team that made very good suggestions and comments. So thank you for joining and helping me doing this remotely. Thank you so much.
Thanks very much, Olga. I just want to let people know then that we now have a GNSO working lunch, which is primarily a GNSO Council event. Lunch is provided. Please give GNSO councillors priority, but you're all welcome to enjoy it. I've been told to say that. The working lunch will allow us to discuss our two joint meetings, the one with the GAC later on today and the one with the CCNSO on Monday. That session will be open for remote participation, so please, anybody who would like to join us remotely, please do so. We will now sign off, operator, and then rejoin in 10 minutes for the working lunch. Thanks very much.